Well, hello and welcome to our traditional service today from St Andrew's and All Saints Online in Malvern. We are really glad that you've logged in to join us, and we hope and pray that you will find this an encouragement and a strengthening for you at this time. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Dave Bruce, I'm the rector here, and Barry Austin, one of our church readers, is going to be speaking later on in the service. But as we begin our service, shall we just pause and let's still our hearts and come into the presence of God, knowing that wherever you are, that God is in your midst today. And we say these opening words: grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Today we're going to be continuing with our series of Faith Under Pressure. And I know a few of you have been looking at this picture, and there's been a bit of discussion as to what that is in the vase there. But I tell you, it is it's supposed to be an egg, just representing that we are fragile, and sometimes it feels like the claws are just trying to crush us. But, you know, we have great news, and we look at today, we're looking at facing failure, knowing God's grace. And so as we begin, I want to just read some verses from Psalm 34. Psalm 34 says, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will be always on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." And so let's do that, whether we've had a good week or a difficult week, whether we're feeling a failure or we're feeling on top of the world, whether we're struggling and feeling under pressure, or whether life is good for us. We come to worship God. Let's sing "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven."
Thank you.
And those words from that hymn, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. That's what we are offered because of Jesus' death on the cross. And so here in this season of Lent, we come to confess again where we have not lived as God wanted us to live, where we have failed God. But we confess knowing that God is faithful and God is just and God will bring us his forgiveness. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from sin and turn to the Lord, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. And in the quiet, I invite you just to bring to God anything that you want to confess, particularly today. And we say together, most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought and word and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We've not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the collect for today, the second Sunday in Lent. Almighty God, by the prayer and discipline of Lent, may we enter into the mysteries of Christ's sufferings, and by following in his way, come to share in his glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Paul's going to come and bring our reading to us, and then Barry's going to share some thoughts on the passage.
This reading is taken from Mark chapter 14, verses 66 to 72. Peter disowns Jesus. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also were with that Nazarene, Jesus," she said. But he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about," he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fellow is one of them." Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely you're one of them, for you are a Galilean." He began to call down curses and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately, the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times." And he broke down and wept. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. Today we are looking at facing failure, when our faith is under pressure. But let me just start, if I may, with something a bit more light-hearted. What did the inflatable head teacher say to the inflatable boy who took a pin to the inflatable school? "You've let me down, you've let the school down, but worst of all, you've let yourself down." Well, I guess we all have at some time or other let people down, haven't we? Disappointed them or disappointed ourselves. And it's at times like that when we can find ourselves unable to know or to receive the full measure of God's grace and God's love. And so today we're going to look at how we might know God's grace in our lives whilst we are experiencing failure. Maybe our failures aren't as dramatic as Peter's in the story we've just heard. But we've all had, I'm sure, our pin moments, haven't we? So, the key word I want you to remember today, and the word I want you to hold on to for the next week at least, is the word strawberry. Now, I know we're looking at facing failure this morning, but bear with me, all will be revealed a little later. So, the reading we had this morning, we know, don't we, from the passion narratives, that Jesus retains his integrity even to the point of death. Yes, he wavered in the Garden of Gethsemane, but he maintained his faithfulness right to the end, even the cost of his life. But what a contrast we have in our reading this morning with Peter, who loses his integrity just to save his skin, not once or twice, but three times, three denials in a short space of time. What a contrast. And yet we know Peter is going to fail, don't we? Because Jesus has already prophesied that this would happen. And we know that Peter's weak, as we see him deny Jesus, that he even knows him. And yet, you know, Peter has lived alongside Jesus for 3 years. He's seen Jesus heal. He's seen Jesus do many miracles, including raising someone from death. And yet at the first time, as it were, of asking, we see him fail. It's his pin moment, isn't it? And I find that kind of comforting in a way, to know that Peter has failed. And, you know, we do too. And it's comforting also, I think, to see the sort of end of this story, which doesn't appear until later in John's Gospel. After the resurrection, Jesus takes Peter to one side and, through a kind of parallel to the three denials, asks Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Quoting from John 21, "After breakfast, Jesus said to Peter, 'Peter, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Master,' said Peter, 'you know I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' He then asked the second time, 'Peter, do you love me?' 'Yes, Master, you know I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep.' And then he said it a third time, 'Peter, do you love me?' And Peter was upset that he asked for the third time, 'Do you love me?' So he answered, 'Master, you know everything there is to know. You've got to know that I love you.' And Jesus said, 'Shepherd my sheep.'" So here's the thing. Jesus didn't say to Peter, "Oh, you're sorry? You want my forgiveness? Okay, that's fine." No, he allows Peter to recognise his own failure. And rather than offer simple forgiveness, Jesus trusts him with a new command. "Feed my sheep. Work for the kingdom. Lead my people." And we, of course, know that Peter goes on to become the rock upon which the church is built. He becomes the leader of the early church, and the rest is history. So, failure follows denial. Sorry, failure, which is the denial, follows faith. Self-knowledge, which is realizing that Jesus knows his weakness, but still loves him, follows failure. And turning to Jesus gives him hope for the future. And Peter goes on to a period of his life dedicated to Jesus. And he eventually, of course, maintains his integrity even to the end of his life. So failure follows faith. Self-knowledge follows failure. And turning again to Jesus gives us hope for the future. So you could argue, I suppose, that failure, maybe, is a necessary part of our growth, in faith and hope. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? Maybe failure is important in part of our Christian walk. So, have you ever failed? Have you ever let someone down that you respect or love? Have you ever lied to save yourself from a difficult situation? Have you felt bad for not doing enough, not reaching out maybe, reaching out boldly, defending your faith, not defending Jesus or the church when you can see him or it under attack. Feeling a bit of a failure because you haven't read the Bible enough, haven't prayed enough, inappropriate thoughts. Well, you're not alone. You're not alone. And there are ample opportunities in life, aren't there? Too many to count where we feel we've let Jesus down. And if we let these things all pile up on us, we can become morbid, miserable, introspective, introverted Christians, locked in a sort of cycle of guilt and feeling unforgiven. And this can make it very difficult for us to love and forgive others. So, what's the answer? Well, I think that we need, and I'm going to quote here, to seek through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand him. Praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Sounds good. Well, it is good. It is actually step 11 of the 12 steps to recovery for alcoholics, part of the Alcoholics Anonymous recovery program. Seek through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand him. Praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Wow, I hear you say. Let's have some of that. But if you're like me, then you may hear those words, recognize the truth in those words, but often because we are feeling like we've failed God, we fail to let them sink into our souls to nourish us. And maybe what we need is something to help us remember the truth in these words. Maybe we need something to help us remember when we are anxious, or when we're particularly stressed, or remorseful, or tired, or on a guilt trip, depressed, just generally overwhelmed by, you know, life and what these latest lockdown is feeling like. And this is where we land on the word strawberry. Remember at the beginning I said strawberry is the word. And so another innocuous illustrative story. Here we are. A monk, could be a nun, but for the purposes of this story, it's a monk, was being chased by a hungry tiger. He ran as fast as he could until he reached the edge of a cliff. He noticed a rope hanging over the cliff, so he grabbed it and slid down the side of the cliff face. Then, glancing down, the monk saw big jagged rocks 500 feet below. Then he glanced up and saw the tiger staring at him from the top of the cliff. And at that very moment, two large rats started biting through the rope. What will he do? Do you sometimes feel like that, surrounded on all sides by challenges, being told that turning to Jesus, trusting God, accepting grace and forgiveness are the answer, but feeling even worse because you don't know what that looks like, or if you do know what it looks like, you find the challenges of putting everything to one side and focusing on Jesus are just too great. Well, back to the monk. He's in a bit of a pickle, really, isn't he? But at this critical moment, when all seems grim, he looks at the face of the cliff and sees growing there a strawberry. He picks it and he pops it into his mouth, and it's the juiciest, sweetest strawberry he has ever, ever tasted. Now here's the thing. If he had focused entirely on the future, the rocks below, or on the past, the tiger above, he would have missed the strawberry that only comes or only came to him in the present moment. And so too the grace of God, God's forgiveness, his grace, the blessing of his Spirit, the closeness of Jesus is not something of the past. Well, it may be, but it's not actually tangible in the present if it's in the past. And it's not some future hope, although obviously it is a future hope in itself. The point is, it's actually experienced in the here and now. The moment we are actually in is the moment we experience God. We may have experienced him, we may experience him in the future, but actually experiencing him is a thing of the here and now. When Jesus, after his resurrection, spoke to Peter, he didn't say, "Did you or did you not love me?" He didn't say, "Peter, will you love me?" He said, "Peter, do you love me?" It was a kind of strawberry here and now moment, wasn't it? Not the tiger behind or the rocks above. Sorry, tiger behind or the rocks ahead. It was a here and now moment. Do you love me? His presence is here. And if our faith is under pressure, Jesus is in the present moment, and we must not, and I'm speaking to myself really here, fixate on the past or the future, but welcome him into our lives in the moment that we find ourselves in. It's the only place that we're at. It's the only place we'll find the strawberry. Think of it as the fruit of the Spirit, if you like. We have to hold tight to Jesus in the moment we're in. Peter was afraid and frail, and he failed Jesus. Peter, afraid and frail, rejected Jesus. Peter, afraid and frail, denied Jesus. But when he stopped being fearful and looked into Jesus' eyes, a strawberry moment, as it were, he was able to receive love, acceptance, grace, forgiveness. And as we know, he went on to feed many, many sheep. When I was writing this, and when I finished it, in fact, I thought, gosh, what song would go well here? And at that exact moment, playing in the background, was a song that Derham had recommended I listen to. And the words seemed perfect. It was a beautiful song. It is a beautiful song. And it's by Lauren Daigle, singing her song, "I Say." The chorus says, "You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. And you say I am held when I'm falling short. And when I don't belong, oh, you say, I am yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. I believe." Amen.
So before we move on, why don't we just pause and just allow God to meet us in those words that Barry has shared, and just allow God to particularly lay anything on our hearts which he wants us to respond to in this moment. And one of the ways which we're inviting you to respond throughout Lent is by taking part in the Kindness Project. You may have seen the first video, which is on our website. If you didn't see it from last week, it was the idea particularly was to drop a card in to somebody lonely, particularly maybe one of our care homes. And it was been lovely to hear different people who've done that this week and engaged in that way. And here is Liz now, just to give us this week's opportunity to take part in the Kindness Project, linked in with some of what Barry's just shared. Here's Liz.
In this week's service, we've been thinking about facing failure and looking at God's forgiveness and the unmerited grace he shows towards us. And in the Kindness Project, we've thought about two activities that you might like to engage in, which just reflect something of this subject. First of all, there's a creative piece that you might like to do. Do pray about someone you know who might need encouragement and how you might be able to encourage that person this week. It might be as simple as just sending a text of encouragement, or it may be that you could give someone unexpectedly a gift. They may be facing disappointment or failure, or simply need some encouragement through these difficult times. It may be that you've got some beautiful daffodils just coming into bloom in your garden this week. You might like to pick some and wrap them beautifully and just give them a simple tie and then put a tag on it with a note, with love from St Andrews or Saints, just to encourage the recipient. Or it may be that you can't think of anybody and you may want to just do the same. Get some flowers, have a simple bar of chocolate, a packet of sweets, or possibly there's a toy that you used to once play with but really no longer play with at all, but you know it might bless someone else. Whatever it is, tie a ribbon round it and make clear that it is sent with love to encourage the recipient. And leave it to surprise someone. Leave it on their doorstep, leave it on a park bench, leave it on your daily walk, and just pray that the recipient would receive it in the manner in which it's given, with love and with excitement, and that they would be touched by the fact that someone has left it expressly for them to find. And the other piece is more reflective. It may be that you find a quiet space and spend some time thinking about someone you might have failed or who might have failed you. In the quietness, speak out their name. Ask for God's forgiveness and ask for his restoration for both you and that person in the situation.
Let's pray together. Lord, firstly, we want to pray for the big news of the week and this roadmap out of COVID that was announced on Monday evening. Lord, we thank you for the amazing vaccine programme and all the amazing work that's been going into that to provide the hope and the way out in this situation. And Lord, we lift up to you now everyone who is affected by this, schools, businesses, people who are incredibly relieved, people who are incredibly nervous about this. And so, Lord, we just take a moment now to raise them to you. So together, either out loud or in the quiet, let's give to God those people that he's laid on our hearts who need our prayer support in this situation. Lord, we pray for wisdom for the leaders in this situation and all those who are making decisions and researching and implementing all of this way out of this situation that we find ourselves in. But Lord, we also think of our wider world. Lord, we pray for situations of conflict around the world. We think of Myanmar, Lord, and the protests and the death and the hurt that is happening there, and we lift that situation to you, Lord, and ask, Lord, that your will be done in that situation. And now we just take a minute, Lord, to pray for those other countries, those other conflicts, those other places, Lord, that need your intervention, Lord. And we listen to you and ask that your will be done in those places now. Lord, we thank you for our world, for the amazing complexity that you have created in us and our different cultures and in your wider creation, your landscapes, your animals, Lord. And we thank you for those people that are working in all of these places around the world of greatest need. Those people who are working with people in poverty, who are facing challenges from climate change, challenges from political pressures, wars, conflicts. We think of Eloise in the Lebanon. We think of our missionary partners and other charities around the world that we support. And Lord, we lift up to those now that we know of. We lift them to you and ask, Lord, that you will strengthen them and help them in their work, Lord, in this wonderful kingdom-bringing work that they are doing. And Lord, at this time, we lift up people that we know who are hurting, individuals, Lord, in our families, our friends, our church, our communities. Lord, you know them, and you know how best to love them and support them, and you know, Lord, how best we can pray for them. So now just lift up to God all those people that he's laid on your heart to pray for. Lord, we thank you for them and we pray that you surround them in your love today. And help us, remind us to keep praying for them throughout the week. And finally, Lord, we want to thank you for all those things that are bringing us hope at the moment. We are at the very edge of the beginning of spring, and spring brings with it the promise of new life and colour and sunshine and warmth. And the promise of the summer too. And so, Lord, we want to thank you for all those things that have brought us hope this week. All those things that we have to hope for the future. And we want to thank you for those things now. Lord, help us every day to remember these things, these positive things, these hopes that you have put in our life, Lord, for you are the God of hope. And that even in the bleakest, in the most confusing situations, you are still the God of hope, and you have provided us with hope and a way forward that is full of love and good things, Lord. And so just pray that every day, Lord, you will remind us and show us these things.
And let's now join in with our affirmation of faith, just declaring again the truths of what we believe. We believe in God, the Father, who created all things, for by his will they were created and have their being. We believe in God, the Son, who was slain, for with his blood he purchased us for God, from every tribe and language, from every people and nation. We believe in God, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And as we come to prepare for communion, we're going to just have the chance to share the peace. And if there's someone at home with you, then do share the peace with them. If you're on your own, then maybe why don't you just text somebody or pick up the phone, pause this and pick up the phone and just ring someone and share the peace. Or just think of someone in your mind as we do this. And yourselves receive that peace of God. So Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you." Let's share with one another a sign of the peace. And so as we've been thinking today about facing failure, and knowing God's grace, we come to gather around the Lord's table. You might like to pause this and just get some juice and some bread as a symbol at home of just this, the meal that we're sharing in, or just to partake in this spiritual communion. But the great news is that actually because of what we're remembering as we take the bread and the wine, because of Jesus' death, we do no longer need to stay in failure. But we can receive God's grace, even though we don't deserve it, not because of anything we've done, but because God loves us. So come around the table, come and receive God's grace afresh today. And we say the Lord is here, his Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. It's right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you didn't reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. And you embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared your life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them saying, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise, and we lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the words, and I shall be healed. And so draw near with faith. Receive spiritually the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. And we say, Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And we're going to sing our final song now, which is the hymn, "And Can It Be?" And this just speaks of no condemnation now I dread. Because of what Christ has done, we no longer need to live in our failures. But we go out confidently knowing God's love for each one of us. So let's sing this out at home. You might even like to stand at home and just sing this out confidently as God's forgiven children. And can it be?
God.
So just before we have the final blessing, just want to remind you that each day on from Sunday to Thursday during Lent, we've got our evening prayer on Zoom at 9 o'clock. And it's been lovely having sort of 30, 40 people join most nights this week to just have a very, just a very gentle and relaxed evening prayer, just dwelling in God's presence. You don't have to pray out loud, we just have it in silence. And if you want to come in and actually put your screen off and not be visible to others, then you're very welcome to join us. But many have found that just a lovely way to end the day and just to draw back to God at the end of the day each week. So that's Sunday to Thursday at 9 o'clock. Details on the mailing. And so a final blessing as we go our own separate ways and as you go into the week. May God give to you and to all those you love his comforts and his peace, his light and his joy in this world and the next. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now and always. Amen. So go in peace into this week to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.